All right, everyone, it is 1 p.m. I'm calling the October 9th, 2025 Library Board meeting to order, and we do have a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve previous meeting minutes?
Dennis Getter, so moved.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Public comments. Ms. Carroll?
We have Brian Heyer, the first name.
Good afternoon. Brian Heyer, TEK. Is that good to speak now?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks.
You have 2 minutes.
Two minutes.
Thank you. So first, members of the board, thank you for allowing me a few minutes. I just came here to voice my support for the protection of children and protecting parents' rights. I think it's imperative, and I think that we should all be able to protect First Amendment civil liberties while still also protecting the innocence of children. I think a lot of us here fully understand the pressures that can be placed on board members through litigious actions as well as social media actions, but I want to reiterate my support for members of the board. If we can allow adult content to be decided by parents and protect them and protect the parents as well, you'll have our support as well. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for your time.
And Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, Fort Mill. I want to thank the board for what they're doing. I thank you for what you're trying to do to protect our children. I'd like you to continue to protect our children, develop character, let them have their innocence while they're young, let them have choices based on what parents want. They're not old enough to know what they want to do as children. And I really want to say thank you so much for wanting to move these books from the children's section and the teenage section over to the adult section and not violate First Amendment rights, but allow these parents, these kids, to have innocence and a good environment. And we'd like to see the family unit brought back to America. The family unit is the strength of America. Marriage, family, men, women, we thank you for what you're doing. Please allow the children to have their innocence, to develop character and moral traits that are based on the Bible. Thank you so much.
Christine Leckage.
Hi, my name is Christine Leckage, TVK. Building on what these two gentlemen have already said, basically allowing our children to be children. But I also want to thank all of you personally for doing what you do. And I know it's difficult sometimes to stand up to some of the opposition that you get, not just in public comments, but also in misleading reporting that I've read. I mean, I was at the last meeting, and what I read in the Rock Hill Herald, it was wow. Anyway, they must have been at a different meeting. But I just want to thank you all for doing what you do, for listening to public comments, for always being determined to address community needs, and for just putting up with it all. So thank you, each and every one of you.
Rebecca, and I asked how to pronounce it.
It's hard name. I should have kept my married name when I got married because that was easier. That's not part of my 2 minutes. Actually, I don't need 2 minutes. I'm not a public speaker, so I'm just going to read and not be embarrassed about that. But I'm Rebecca Luchthart from Rock Hill. And I just wanted to say, first, thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak. And I really want to very, very sincerely thank you, the board, for your very thoughtful discussions to move sexually explicit materials to the adult section. Your commitment to protecting the innocence and well-being of our children while still respecting access to information is very deeply appreciated. And I do know that this is a complex issue that you guys face, and I just want to acknowledge the care and responsibility that you guys have taken over months to discuss this, and it's showing in your decisions that reflect taxpayers, biblical and community values, and parental concerns. And so I'm very thankful for you guys for being so diligent in discussing this for so long. And I also just want to say and reiterate, I've said this at your meetings before, that it's my job as a parent to tell my children when to tell my children about sex and what to tell them, anything sexually, any sexual topic whatsoever that has anything to do with anything sexual. It's my job to decide age and what we want to tell them based on our family values, and it's nobody else's job. And I just want to thank you for protecting that freedom of mine, that I have that freedom that anybody else can't, you know, shove that down my family's throat. And so thank you for protecting that freedom, and thank you for listening and acting in a way that prioritizes age-appropriate access. Your leadership really does make a real, very real difference in it. We're praying for you, for your safety, and for your courage. And so, yeah, thank you.
Caitlin Boyle.
Hello. I wanted to echo what everyone else has said, that we appreciate the efforts that you guys are doing. On behalf of hundreds, if not thousands, of families who will never come to a meeting and listen to you guys go over this in person, I want to tell you that they appreciate the work that you're doing. I know it not, has not been easy, but you lead with courage and conviction, and we very much appreciate it.
And Melissa Johnson.
I'm Melissa Johnson. I live in Tiga K, and just want to also reiterate how much we appreciate personally have a 5 and a 3-year-old, and we come to this library quite a bit, and I appreciate knowing that this is a safe space that my kids can come in, and I don't have to worry about what is in the section, whether it's going to be appropriate for little eyes, and as mentioned, I also want to have conversations when it's appropriate based on their age when it comes to sex, or anything that they shouldn't be exposed to at make sure that Fort Mill is family friendly, the library especially is safe, and that everything that they are exposed to is appropriate for their ages. So thank you so much.
That is six. Okay. Thank you all. Moving on to reports, Director.
As always, I would like to just share our monthly statistics. We are second month of this new format, and everybody's just run along real strong with our programs and program attendance and new library cards, which I think I should point out that we are following, and I think I did this before, but we are really aligning with the State Library's annual report, and what they do when we report annually is split out library cards between adult, which includes YA, and then children. So that's a little different statistic there. And I also wanted to just point out, when you look at the last page, the technology use, in particular, the monthly total prints, which has risen to 7,830 prints. I can give you an idea what that means. So for example, at Rock Hill, 372 people printed 797 documents, and at, say, Fort Mill, where we are today, in September, 190 people printed 485 documents, and that is a revenue generator. It's not huge because it's 25 cents per page and 50 cents per page if it's color. But I wanted that to highlight how much use we are getting from people who need us to help them print out legal documents or real estate documents or school papers. And so it's a wonderful service that we provide.
Could you, you says 25 for black and white and 50 for color?
Yeah.
You realize that we're undercutting the market by about 30 to 40%, so
anybody
who's got a new smart come into the library rather than going to Kinkle's.
And that's fine with us.
Okay.
Because when they come in, Dennis, they see things that we have that they don't know about, because they're usually not library users. So they come in and they see our displays, they see the collection, they learn about different services that we have. you know, tech tutoring our program. So we regard it as an invaluable win to get people in to see what we can offer.
Without having to do the math, about how much revenue does that generate?
So in particular, last month, Willis have done a total for me. Of course, it doesn't let me round up. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, $1,400 in September.
Okay.
And the next thing that I have in my package to share, because I love doing this, these are the top 10 books on hold for our e-books. And I, being a librarian, this just always delights me. And so you can see that between Hoopla Audio, e-book audio, Libby Audio, and Libby e-book, there's a variety of different books that people are finding through those particular channels that they are anxious to get their hands on. So number one in Hoopla Audio is Broken Country at 45 holds. The ebook for Hoopla is The Secret of Secrets. The Libby Audio number one is Atmosphere, 65 holds. And then Libby ebook is Broken Country again for 109 holds. So you can find both those titles in different different apps. And so that gives greater, well, it doesn't when you're on hold, but technically it gives you greater access to more materials, which we're proud to provide to people.
Julie, let me ask you a question. 45 holds, how long would it take those people to get the book? Any idea at all?
Yes, it can take up to 6 months.
6 months.
Mm-hmm. Depends on how fast people are reading and turning them back in. Because they
can
have a
lot. The number of holds we have in different categories to be acceptable, or is that something we should strive to cut down?
It's a great question. This is something we juggle, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We juggle with how much money to put into how many holds you can have, because we could increase it, but then it costs us more money on the other end of purchasing new books. So that's delicate balance of buying new titles versus just buying more to fill the holds on a popular title. It's a juggling act for sure. And we have gone from 8 holds down to 5 holds so that we can accommodate more people more quickly. But you can see it's still, you know, a popular title is a popular title. So we evaluate that often, what that number is going to be. I think we might change it. We've changed it once a year in the last couple of years.
Change the
amount of holds so that we can make them smaller, because the less holds, the more you can buy new titles for more people to explore. And people aren't as on hold as long.
Okay.
Have you found on the app,
mm-hmm,
where you put the new titles, you sort of advertise the new titles that are available, has that affected any of this?
I don't know. Because every user is different. You know, some people come very specifically for a title that their friends are reading or that they've heard about, you know, through media, et cetera, et cetera. While a lot of people just browse just to find.
I'm just curious because
yeah,
that's where I get my titles.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think a fair amount of people do that. The other thing we do with our Flex Borrows, which is a subservice of that, is if you are putting your books on hold and you're like, I'm just sitting here waiting for all these books, the Flex Hold allows you up to 5 borrows free. Well, it's all free, but it gives you a wider capacity for putting other books on hold, and that way people can explore other titles that they might not have thought to come to read when they got there. So trying to give everybody as much choice as we possibly can.
Julie, do we know if just say that this represents, obviously Broken Country will take the top one here, 45 different people,
yes,
want that.
Yeah.
Then, but if we go down to My Friends 43, do we know if, say, 20 of the people that have the first one on hold might have this one on hold too?
Yes, it could happen, because you're allowed a certain amount of holds on your account. So however you spend your holds is however you want to spend your holds, and so that could very well be that you might, the same people might be signing up for the 1, 6, and the 10, yep.
And then first book that comes, but then is there a way, once they get a book, their other holds hold, right?
Yeah.
So they could theoretically be getting multiple books to read at the same time.
That is correct.
Okay.
And if we have any library users, you know how that works, right?
Yeah. So the numbers might not be as big as they look if you're talking about individual people. And they may actually be saying, hey, I'm fine with the hold there because I'm already reading a book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so it's not like they're just pacing the floor.
Correct.
Waiting for it to show up on their machine.
Let me follow up on that because
yeah.
I think it was an excellent question. Do we know whether Dennis has got holds on 12 different books or not?
Yes.
Because
so you have a limit for how many you can
well,
have.
Well, here's my question. If we knew that Dennis and three of his friends were tying up half the holds, that would be less reason for us to increase the number of holds because we know his reading needs are being met. I mean, in other words, his question I think is important because we don't have a way of judging whether there's 41 different people represented in the holds, might be 10 people. There's no way of knowing that.
Not if you went, no, there really isn't. It's like physical books. We don't know that either. You'd have to go into a library. I mean, there's no report to run for that.
Well, if you had that information, then you'd know how close you were to meeting the needs of the public, as opposed to, oh my God, it looks like there's 45 people wanting all these books. Anyway, listen.
But
there's still 45 people.
The limit is 5 holds, right? That's the limit. That one
on
person.
The e-book.
Yeah, it's 20 books, right?
E-books.
Okay. Does that? And audio is another.
So, yes, all the electronic books, both e-audio and e-books. Love it. And then if you'll permit me, I just have an update on a couple of programs and the electrical upgrade.
Okay.
And patchwork, which was 2 Saturdays ago already, Susan and Carol and Nancy all came by. The total participants, because we do events at schools and at branches throughout the week, ending in our festival on that Saturday, the total participants across all 14 events, not including the festival, no, that's true, including the festival, excuse me, were 2,224 participants. And then the festival itself increased its numbers from last year's 452 attendees to this year's 547 attendees. It was beautiful weather, it was hot. But a really interesting thing of note is we have a teen art contest, shout out to Teen Steph. In particular, she runs it. For a couple of years now, and every year the participation gets more and more. And it's children and teens who are participate by different age groups. It's, it might be 0 to 9 and 10 to 14.
7 to 9, 10 to 12, 13 to 15, 16 to 18.
Yeah, and in that younger age, 100. Which one of them had 100 submissions.
Yeah, I remember. It was 200 total submissions, and most of it was 7 to 9 and 10 to 12.
And all of them were displayed at the White Home. And why I bring this up of particular note is the families come to see the art, especially the families of the children who win. And these two are people who don't know about patchwork storytelling. And they come and they get, wow, look at all of this. Look at the storytelling. Look at the balloon twisting. Look at the face painting. Look at our food trucks. And so we have an expanded audience to introduce it to that hadn't been aware of it. So we expect these numbers to go up next year, too.
With a lot of talent.
Yes, oh my gosh. Yeah, the storytellers are, you know, a great mix of local and usually one nationwide, two nationwide we'll pay for.
And, you know, I would commend the staff for their participation. And
they did great.
And joyfully. Everybody looked really happy to be there and to
did a good job of representing the library and the community.
Thank you, Carol. Our next keynote program is coming up on October 18th, and that is our Genealogy and Family History Expo over at the Marriott at Kingsley. It is registration only, but that's always a very popular event, which Terry can attest to because he's gone the last couple years.
It's amazing things you can learn there.
Speakers.
It's still free, but they always have speakers that address beginning level people, mm-hmm. and people who really know about genealogy. Then they have different specialties, like what was said in one time on one on military history, or military genealogy, and all the different sources that you could go to if you want to find out about an ancestor participation, any war, like from the American Revolution, maybe the French and Indian War, forward, and just some incredible, they're all good storytellers, and it's really fun to just be there. They have great vendors, good stuff to look at and buy.
Yeah.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended. Great. Good. High praise.
Registration still open. Is registration still open?
I think so. I meant to look before I came here. Jump up to our events calendar. Double check me. And then finally, the electrical upgrade. We know this is our second week of being closed to the public at Rock Hill. And Monday the 13th is when the demo starts and then construction or installation begins. We have moved our circulation aisle, our interconsortium loan processing to York. We've moved about half of our IT department to York. We've moved bookmobile and outreach to the White Home. And we've moved technical services to Dacus Library at Winthrop. They are housing us for 6 months. And then our children's department has moved to the Galleria, and they'll be doing programming there as well. And the Friends of the Library actually, I think, are looking at space at the Galleria as well. They might have donation drop-off spot there. They're working on that right now. And we have, I've attached for you a flyer. We are still continuing all of our programs across the county. We have some great partners who are working with us to lend their space for book clubs, for programs for all ages. I don't even know how to say this, but Miracle Park, we've worked with them a long time. The Mercantile, Boyd Hill Recreation Center. I've already mentioned the Galleria having programs. Fountain Park, Knowledge Park is gonna host us for a book club. The Oratory, the Rock Hill Oratory, Clinton College, the Women's Club. We are so fortunate to have such great partnerships with our local organizations so we can keep providing some pretty quality programming for our community while we are closed.
Sure, I think this is amazing. I have a suggestion. Mm-hmm. If there was some way you could come up with a way of registering the number of people who participate in these various locations.
Oh, we do. We count.
And have them some sort of questionnaire or survey, maybe on a scientific basis. Not everybody can be interviewed, but I think you have the potential here for educating people about what the library does. Because all these places will bring in people who probably haven't been in the library in 40 years. And they're there because their church group or kids are doing something, grandkids. And these are this cross slice of public is going to introduce you to people that we're going to need for support of building new libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a great potential to get a lot of opinions from people as to what they find valuable. To let them know the kind of things the library does.
Okay, great. Great idea.
We should look at trying to get this information out because in today's world, it's so difficult to get people's attention on anything for any length of time.
Well, we've got some creative staff, so I will get their feedback on how we might do that.
Thank you. I just also want to say I'm really impressed with this.
We are so fortunate.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and it's kind of gives you goosebumps that, you know, the community coming together to help you out.
Yeah, that's the one.
Then we're not supposed to interact with the audience, but how many people in the audience are aware of what we're talking about? Have you seen this sheet of all of the places the library's gonna be doing things?
It's on our website. Yeah, it's on our website if you're interested.
Good to know, thank you.
Thank you, and that's my report.
Okay, do you have an estimate as to when the Rock Hill facility will be back up to operation?
They said it's six months, and if they're done a month early, we'll be blessed.
Okay.
But we're counting on six, because we don't know what's up there in them ceilings.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Treasurer, report.
I bring your attention to the statements. There's two statements in there for 2 months, August and September. To save time, I'm just gonna talk about September, because I can talk about August, and the changes would be reflected in September, so we'll just talk about the current report. Discussing things that are either over or under, if you look at revenues, and I'm on the September 30th report now, state aid appropriations is higher at you can see the difference in numbers there. It's up 100%, but the reason for that is we get that in the lump sums, and so we got the first half year lump sum in now, and that number will just stay the same until the second half. If you notice right underneath that, fines, fees, and rentals is up substantially, and that's I am discussing that with Pam, but right now we received a refund from our state South Carolina retirement system for payments for last year. The refund was $30,000, and they put it there, and we're discussing if it should go into other revenue or be an offset against, but for now it's just parked there, and that's why that number is extremely to the plus side of fees.
Yeah.
Going down to expenditures, the only comment would be on the second item, employee benefits appears a little high, and that again is a timing situation where we have to pay in lump sums, so that we don't show prepaids on some of this stuff, we just show we expense it when we pay it, and so therefore that appears high this month, and that will work its way down with future months. So everything else is under budget, in line. Julie is doing a spectacular job at managing the show. That's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. All right, standing committees, strategic planning committee.
The only thing that I would have to share is what's in your packet that Martin very kindly put together for us. Last time we met, I showed you the SWOT analysis we had, and he took that information, provided it in Union Survey Monkey for that, a digital format to be able to have us respond and put what we would prioritize from those groups. So we have on both of those what you had from the board and what you had from the staff. So if you would just take those and look at, I think some of the overlap is important, that all of us see the space limitations, the idea of funding and paying salaries that would cut the attrition from library staff, and also to use the staff wisely, use them in ways that they would find their abilities, I think, more in line with what they, I don't want to say what they like to do, but what they feel is their real gift. The other thing that I was looking at this morning, the digital collections showed up in both of these, and I think what we talked about earlier with the electronic books is part of that, that we want to be sure we're meeting the needs for that. So we'll be looking at that as a committee. We'll also be using some other material to reach out to the community to add to what we have here. That's it.
Thank you very much, Carol. All right, and then the policy committee.
yet. We are still waiting for receipt of legal advice, and with Mr. Henry there assuring us that we are going to be receiving some receipt here in the next month, and hopefully we'll be able to proceed with the policy at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think you get one of those.
All right. Okay, that takes care of reports. Unfinished business, none. Moving on to new business. Carol, did you have a motion?
I do have a motion that I will just read. I make a motion to authorize Dennis Getter as previous strategic planning committee member to examine the best use of the second floor of the Fort Mill branch. I can pass this around if anyone needs to see it. But that is my motion.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
What do we expect this effort to produce? What will be the end product of your work?
Dennis, you want to address that?
Yeah, my goal is to, right now we have two tenants or renters or sharers of our space up on the second floor, specifically the sheriff department and the Economic Development Department, and we are also upstairs. So there's three people upstairs, just in kind of
The administration.
The administration, strictly upstairs. So that being said, there's about 70, round numbers, about 7,500 feet upstairs. The sheriff has a third of that at 2,500. We have 1,400 in Economic Development is 2,300, but believe it or not, there's a lot of hallways upstairs because that's what happens when you design something after the fact. So there's a 1,300 feet of hallways. The thought being, and it's an easy move and then a hard move. It looks like Economic Development, I've been discussing this with Kevin Madden and the county officials and Josh, the manager, of trying to move them into other county space. They are more flexible because theoretically they can go anywhere in the county, and a lot of activity in Rock Hill, as we know, and things like that. So we have to find some county space for them. So the gist of the deal is Economic Development will move if we find, we meaning the county, finds some suitable space, replacement space, and then we could take over that space. The sheriff is in the same boat that he says, well, I'll move if you find me adequate space, county space, only he has a little other criteria that on his move in terms of location and things like that and access. So he's gonna be harder to move, but I'm willing to take half a loaf of bread here at this time. And Julie and I have been discussing this. I did bring some plans, but I don't think I'll get into that kind of detail, but we're looking at if we can take out Economic Development and take some hallways, we can get about 3,300 square feet of space, and with minimal rebuild or reconstruction up there, because we would, the addition up there would give us one or two conference rooms, which we desperately need. By that I mean 12 people kind of rooms. So we could have more meeting rooms, we could have some study space up there, and then we're debating whether we move a whole section up there or what we do. So that's still fluid right now, and no decisions, but we're definitely anxious for the space. I've been talking about this, I think I've been here almost 2 years now, and it was after year one, this was kind of my mission, but I needed a formal authority. Here's the way the county operates. Getter, okay, you want to do something, now you got to have permission first. So what this motion did was give me permission now to formally engage with all the players that are involved and say, yes, the library would like to expand. We all know it's desperately needed. It's the low-hanging fruit in front of the strategic plan of new buildings or major renovations, which is in the millions and millions of dollars. The other thing with funding with this, technically, we have a reserve. reserve fund to be used for issue, any kind of expenditures. Now, we can't just willy-nilly spend that, but that does take county approval, but they're backing this also. So we got everybody's on board to go, and hopefully I can just spearhead it and make it happen. So hopefully we're gonna get economic development in another place, be able to take over that space, with Julie's input, obviously, decide what we wanna do with that space, but I mean, it's like we're under a waterfall. We got plenty of things to do with that space, so that's not gonna be any issue in terms of what's hard. We'll just try to make, you know, the best decision, and then based on what my thoughts are, and I'm always optimistic, minimal renovation, and minimal renovation means minimal time, so that, you know, we could say if we could get them out of there, we could be up there in a couple of months with just knocking down some walls and putting in new carpet or something like that. So again, I'm kind of optimistic guy, but more troubles to follow, but that's the overall plan.
Let me ask you a question. How does the sheriff's department use the space they occupied there? What do they do with it? Do we know?
Well, he knows. Thank
so,
you.
So we have four districts for the sheriff's office.
Okay.
This is the Fort Mill district. So we run all of our Fort Mill calls. Our Fort Mill residents can come to this office to make reports in person, and that's our patrol suite where if we have reports to do or evidence to drop, we come off the road and we can go right upstairs instead of driving all the way to York or Rock Hill.
And so there's no reason that you need to be in this particular space, but you need space somewhere in this district.
Yes, sir.
Okay. My thought is that would not minimize the need for the office he described. But since the larger picture is we're all with York County, we're all supported by taxpayers' dollars, in terms of maximum benefit for the large number of citizens, seems to me that it makes more sense to use all the space on the second floor of the public library and to provide that same space or even better space somewhere else. And I would like us to ask the county council to think about that. I mean, all they can see now is a negative, oh, we're gonna lose our space. But there are probably things going on in this area right now. People would highly prize having a deputy there 24 hours a day or thereabouts. I mean, that's an asset. That's not like moving a recycling center next to you. To have a police officer there in your shopping center or whatever is an asset. And if they, I mean, what they're saying is, yeah, Dennis, you find the place and we can do it, but if we don't get proactive and say, hey, how about, this would be a great public relation for county council. You've doubled the amount of space on the second floor available to us. Could solve some of your space problems. It would be good for all the people up here, you know, to really effectively use that space, all of it.
Terry, that's what you're doing, right?
Yeah, that's my pitch.
Yeah.
We haven't talked, but you've got my pitch.
I can help you on that.
You've got my pitch. So I have had several meetings with Tony Green, the sheriff, about that, and again, Kevin Madden can kind of speak for economic development. They have a new person there, I believe. That's
emphasize the county council won some real good brownie points.
Well, and I think that I will tell you the reason that Dennis is the one that gets this
assignment.
Yeah, I was trying to make it sound really positive.
Dennis
was on the strategic plan committee before. This was his sort of priority at that time. He felt like we had so much wasted space that he really wanted to be able to have that available for the library for our patrons. So he had all of this material that he had come to me with, and we talked about the best way to move forward. And since he had already done so much of the legwork, and he was willing, right, I didn't twist your arm, did I? No. To go forward with this, it made sense to let him continue. He's had conversations with everybody, assuming most of the county council. They are aware of the need. They are aware that
part of their responsibility. It's not just for Dennis to go looking for spaces, but they are also looking for available spaces. So if there are any places, I guess, that you would suggest, you could talk to Dennis about it, or even talk to one of the council members if you want to do that. But it is, that is in the works.
The element that hasn't been mentioned is what the public would like to see. If the public up here understood there's a potential to make this library much more functional and useful for the citizens of this area, I think they'd start talking to their county council and as well as us. You know, God love the sheriff, but he's obviously, you know, got a lot of other priorities right now. The county council is the one that pays the bill, so let's do what we can to encourage the county council to expand this library to a maximum on the second floor
so
to benefit everybody.
All this has been happening now, and this was from Josh Edwards specifically. We just needed a specific motion on the that we just approved to make this formally and officially, and I can move forward full speed ahead. So
we haven't had the vote yet.
Do you want me to read it again?
Yes.
Do I need to read it again?
Any more discussion? Please read one more time.
Okay. I make a motion to authorize Dennis Getter as previous strategic planning committee member to examine the best use of the second floor of the Fort Mill branch.
Second. Oh, you ready for
that? It's already.
I'm
sorry.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Sounds like that one passed.
Good job.
All right. Strategic priority survey, have we pretty much covered
we
that?
We covered it, and I thought everybody had theirs. I didn't realize.
I thought
okay.
we did. It's
I apologize. So what you have is what I was talking about earlier with there are two separate pages. One should say board strategic priorities and the other library staff strategic priorities. So put them side by side. Notice the similarities in some, and we will be using this to move forward with our plan.
Very good.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
At our August meeting, August 14th meeting, we had a fifth category for social media.
Julie, do you want to address why we thought that would be difficult to put as a fifth category
for
the SWOT?
Because we hadn't really, it was Dennis's suggestion, and really it's all around with advocacy. And so it sort of falls underneath other things. It really could be the support for a number of priorities. So I don't think it's actually a strategic part of the strategic plan unless you turn it into advocacy, and then you've got a series of goals to meet that advocacy.
Okay.
So we could, you know, this is not set in stone. This is our feedback, and we could have more, have the strategic planning committee have more discussions about that.
Well, and I think it also might even fall under programs and services, that it becomes a subsection of that, because obviously social media is important, communication is important,
advocacy.
But we weren't sure how it would fit with the whole
being a fifth
umbrella.
I mean, maybe it does. We'll have to knock that around.
Number two on the programs and services, their increased dedicated, no, I'm sorry, number three, improved promotion of events and programs. I mean, it could fall over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there any other new business?
Mr. Carl, my first question. I was flabbergasted to see that we had two York County sheriff's officers for this meeting. I'm not even sure why you need one. For some reason, there seems to be a fear that we are in danger. And I look at the people that come out to these meetings, and I don't see any of them as a threat. They look like my fellow citizens. I understand that we decided not to hold any observance in our libraries this week, the banned book week, because the director thought it could lead to violence. I don't know where this stuff comes from. I don't see it. I see a bunch of soccer moms, and I see retired people.
Could I address that?
I hope you would. Yeah.
Yes, I will. These are public meetings, as you know, open to the public. Anybody from any state, any county, can show up in these meetings. These people right here, they look very friendly. These are not all the people that can show up at this meeting anytime. With all the violence that has taken place in our nation here recently, it is showing just a little bit of wisdom to have two off-duty police guard, sheriffs, deputy sheriffs here, $50 an hour. I think that's an exceptional deal for the protection of the board, protection of everybody here. And to, we as York County, we don't want to make the national news. We don't want to make it. So we're just showing a little wisdom.
I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, that's your opinion.
What's wrong with our parts of this country?
That's your opinion. Any more new business?
Yes, Terry brought up the idea of other programs that are not being published by the, or approved by the South Carolina State Library Board. I'd like to make the following motion. I move that the director discuss with the chairman of the board prior to scheduling any special themed weeks or months on the calendar, except those authorized by the South Carolina State Library Board.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Oh, second.
All right, any discussion?
Yes, I'd like to discuss that. We don't need to be trying to micromanage a library. We have highly qualified professionals. People have advanced degrees, and they should run the library. We get into this micromanaging stuff, we're overstepping our proper bounds. We're not to be doing that. Let the librarians decide what program is appropriate for the audience they serve, branch by branch. And if they're doing something that's not good, Julie will set it straight. And if it's something so egregious that is morally offensive or just bad management, then we take that Julie and say, this has got to stop. But we should not be running the libraries. That's, we're not training the librarians, and we're hurting the morale of people. Who wants to work for a place where people don't know what they're doing come in and tell you what to do?
Any more discussion? Dennis, could you read that?
I move that the director discuss with the chairman of the board prior to scheduling any special themed weeks or months on the calendar, except those authorized by the South Carolina State Library Board.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Okay, that motion does pass. Do we have any more new business? All right, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you all.